talk a little bit about the injury situation to start out with here. Brandon Jacobs is going to come on the field and work, see, test it out and work today. Tremaine McBride will do the same. He may not extend beyond the individual period, but we're going to find out where we're at with that. Jason Pierre-Paul will work on the side with the trainers. Terrell Thomas, this would be the day that he normally is off. And Corey Webster is going to work as well. We prepare ourselves this morning for the San Diego Chargers, a team that has the same record that we have, a 5-7 record. They have beaten in our division the Philadelphia Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, as you know, lost in overtime to the Washington Redskins, beat the Colts, and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So this is an explosive offensive team. They're fifth in the league in total offense at 401. They're second in the league on third down, which is outstanding. Phillip Rivers having a great year at 70% completions, 23 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and a 104 quarterback rating. Their defense, this is a team, another team that I really refuse to look at the numbers. If you watch the two of the most recent games, start with Cincinnati, it's a very physical game. They're battling back and forth, a very low-scoring game. They lose to the Bengals, a good Bengals team. But they are a physically aggressive pressure outfit, which you can expect upwards of 40 to 45% pressure in every game that they play. Their special teams has Nick Novak, who is 9-for-9 over 40 yards. Mike Seifries, their punter, with a 39-9 net and a strong leg. And, of course, outstanding people back there to return in Woodhead, Allen, Hawkins, and even Royal when he's healthy. So this is a team that, very talented team, an explosive team, a physical team, and a team which we look forward to as we dive into, with the players being as interested and as anxious as we are to know as much as we can about this team and to study them, because we've played them twice in the last 8 years, but not recently.
Isn't it an encouraging sign, I guess, that Jason's at least going to be off to the side and working a little bit?
Anything is encouraging if we can get him out on the field.
Tom, how difficult is Rivers to defend, because he seems to spread the ball around so well?
He does a good job of that. The ball comes out quick. They're diversified in how they operate. And as all you got to do is look at that third down number. I mean, that's hard to do in this league now. And, you know, because of the nature of their offense, the complicated looks that they see on third down, you have to give them a lot of credit for that.
Tom, can you share, I realize I'm asking you to go back in time, but it has been 10 seasons now since they were swapped for each other on draft day. Just any memories that day? What do you remember about how it unfolded, the tension, anything that might have been?
Well, I remember Ernie Accorsi, you know, making that deal, being 100% 100% in belief that this was the right thing to do for our franchise. I remember that Ernie had studied Eli since he was a freshman in college and had really a really strong feeling about him. I remember the fact that that he had the confidence and the constitution, if you will, to push the deal through. It wasn't an easy deal to make. I can remember informing, you know, Mr. Merrill what he was trying to do at the time, and I'm sure Bob Tisch at the time as well. But you know, it was a move that he made with great conviction, and obviously Phillip Rivers has had an outstanding career in San Diego, and Eli Manning's had an outstanding career here. So I think you have a win-win situation there.
In all your years of working with general managers, have you ever been around anybody who was had that much conviction about a player, particular player?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, sure.
Had you seen a lot of Eli at that point yourself, or were you hitching?
I'd seen him on tape, and I'd been to the workouts and that type of thing.
Do you remember very much agreement among your brain trust at that time? Or do you remember Ernie really being
there? No, there was solid agreement. I don't know that Ernie needed us, but he was convinced what he wanted.
Did
The story Ernie tells is that his plan was always trade for Eli or draft Roethlisberger, but the guy you ended up picking was Rivers. Do you remember doing much pre-draft work at all on Rivers, or remember your thoughts on what?
Oh, yeah, we did it all. I was at Philip Rivers' workout, too, which was an outstanding workout as well. It's a good year.
How unusual in the years you've been in the league to see not only a trade like that happen, but that both guys are still starting for their teams 10 years later.
That's a good question. I don't know how unusual it is at that position, but to be playing as well as they're playing, that's I don't think that's unusual either when you pick the right ones.
Tom, in a year that's been a little bit inconsistent, how about Justin Tuck's consistency this year and what he's been able to do?
Well, he's played solid. He really has. He hasn't had the numbers like he did last weekend. I understand he's the NFC Defensive Player of the Week as well, but to me, he's played solid. He's practiced hard. He's worked hard. He's done things by example. He's been one of the guys that I referenced when I talked about if we got credit for the sacks that we've kind of missed or whatever. He's one of the guys that I would include there. But, to have 6.5 sacks, to play the way he's played, to move in over the guard at times, to stay outside at times, I think he's played a solid game, and we now can hopefully expect that he'll do the same for the remainder of the season.
Tom, you haven't had a linebacker to put up the kind of numbers that Beeson did last week, two off of 13 solos, so 17 sacks. He's put up those numbers before, but you guys don't get used to those kind of numbers. What is that, an aberration? I mean, so many
sacks? No, I don't think so. I think that's the way he plays. He's a very much involved guy. Period. He can go sideline to sideline. He's a solid hitter. He looks for the contact. He's got, I think, outstanding values and makes a very, very strong commitment for his teammates and his team. Enjoys the role that he plays in terms of being the play caller, et cetera. So I don't think that is at all. I mean, he's had double-digit tackles since he's been here.
Sideline to sideline is something in the middle linebacker position you guys have been looking for.
Everybody's looking for that.
You think you found it?
I think so.
With regard to DeMontre, you're working him in. Is there a formula with young defensive linemen like that in terms of development?
Depends on the path that you have to take, based on the individual. I think if this young man wasn't hurt in preseason for the length of time that he was, that he may be more advanced than he is now. Right now, he's a very, very aggressive, solid part of special teams, and we're trying to work him in as best we can. But he is a necessary part of the rotation right now.
If you go back to Tuck's early years, and he didn't have gaudy numbers, obviously, early on. Obviously, he's a different type of player than mm-hmm. Justin, but. Do you go back and kind of look at how you've developed these guys? You've always had kind of a chain of...
You do, and again, if you remember, Justin was on kickoff coverage. Did a good job with that his rookie year, too.
Myers has had a couple of good games here the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Do you sense that he's finally settling down and finding that niche?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know what that means. We're late in the season. I would hope he would be, but... He has made some plays for us down this time of the year that have been huge plays. None more than that third down the other day, that short yardage third down. I mean, that was really something.
As Beeson lifted up the rest of the defense, is he that kind of player?
He's one of those energetic guys that has definitely helped. Antrell's that kind of player as well. You have some guys that are. But if you do have someone that goes as hard as he does and loves it as much as he does, there isn't any question.
We look at what Woodhead does for these guys. Can you talk a little bit about how
he's made an outstanding contribution. Woodhead, you can see that Philip Rivers has relied on him. All you need to do is watch that. Maybe you haven't watched the last drive against Kansas City. He goes to Woodhead twice, and Woodhead makes a play with the clock bearing down on him where he fakes like he's going to run out of bounds, ducks back inside, picks up probably another 11 yards before he runs out of bounds. He had two of those big plays at that point in time. So he's become a very reliable guy for Rivers, knows where he is all the time and goes to him. And his run after the catch stuff is still extremely good. And he still runs the ball you know, as a third down runner and primarily, you know, he's jumped back there and has the longest kickoff return as well.
As a coach, do you have an appreciation for guys that come out of nowhere from a small, unknown school like this guy did and kind of grinded through, being cut a number of times?
Well, I think we all do have an appreciation for that. And, of course, where we saw most of him was when he was up north.
How did Hosley stand out the other night?
He did okay. He did. I mean, we were just so fortunate to get him in the game and play well and stay in the game. And so I think that has helped a lot. I think this will help him.
Tom, any doubt Ernie made the right call that day?
None whatsoever. There's a couple things out there in the hallway you might want to take a look at.
When you look at Eli, he's been sacked 31 times. It's more than he's ever had in his career. How has he handled that sort of the pressure that mentally of being maybe under more pressure than he has in the past?
But he doesn't, he really shows very little angst or very, very little being upset about it or whatever. His job, he gets back up, shakes it off, and, you know, nobody wants that. We don't want that. We're not looking for that, believe me. And I mentioned that this morning. But, you know, he does a great job of handling that.
Have you guys had to scale back your passing game either because of that issue, or do you still anticipate that you can hit big plays when you go into every single week?
We do. We do. We anticipate that, sure.
His completion percentage is very high Sunday night, but it wasn't – I mean, you're still not getting those big downfield shots. Do you feel there's a reason for it? Do you feel like you've had to work differently in terms of designing your passing game week to week?
No. I don't think we have had to work any differently. The opportunities to go down the field perhaps for us haven't been as much as we would like. You know, we missed a couple of them the other night, just barely. I mean, thought we had one to Victor in the middle of the field.
Tom, Mike Tomlin was fined, I think, $200,000 for.
You don't mind if I get to practice here, will you?
I mean, have you ever found yourself, you know, in the sideline where you kind of lost track of where you are? You know, everyone's
sure. Yeah. I mean, right now there's so much a premium on. You better stay off the white. You better stay off the white. And we're all yelling and screaming that. We're reminded by the officials about that every week too. But you know, you find yourself sometimes running down the sideline on the white. But nevertheless, you're not even supposed to be on the white because the officials, you know, have to have access there, and that is a most difficult penalty to absorb. Thank you.